Man, I've been experimenting making that Indian coffee, and I've been making it all day. And me and Grammy are we're buzzing out on coffee, baby. Buzzing out on coffee. I got another batch cooking right now. I gotta go. I gotta go now.
Yes, yes.
Woo!
Hey, does anybody want a coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? Anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee?
Having conversations about society, one cup at a time. Coffee with R.W.
Un cafecito.
Pour yourself a cup and join us.
Es un cafecito.
What is going on, everybody? This is yours truly, Ralph William. You're listening to Coffee with RW. I hope you're doing okay. Thank you very much for joining me for this coffee and conversation segment. So if you haven't followed me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter at the Ralph William on Twitter. Send me any news articles, any feedback that you want to discuss about the station, about the podcast, and send them all to my Twitter handle at the Ralph William on Twitter. Speaking of internet radio, man, I hope you guys check out mine, which is WESN. Look for it on your Google Play Store or Apple Store, W-ESN, the Epic Strategies Network. That way you can tune in at any time, wherever you're at around the world. You know, wherever you're at, you can tune in and listen to shows like yours truly and listen into some good tunes as well. Or you can go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com, tune in there, or ask your Alexa devices as well. So if you guys haven't had your coffee, I got you covered. Here you go. There you go. A nice big cup for you. Nice big cup for me. And let us get it going. So as I always like to do, if you guys are familiar with me and the way I do my show, I like to have a little celebratory sip of coffee in the morning with everybody. And that involves, you know, you, because you, the listener, you are what keeps this going, right? If you listen, you tune in, you give me the feedback, then I know that I need to keep on going. So I like to say, for those of you, it doesn't matter if it's in the morning, in the afternoon, for I hear there is a thing out there where people like to have nights and afternoon cups of coffee. So I do too. I like afternoon coffee as well. Sometimes some people use that as a different meaning, which is new to me, but I don't mind using it. But just for that sake, ladies, if you offer me a cup of coffee at 8 o'clock at night, I'm going to assume you're actually going to offer me a cup of coffee at night. So, but anyway, I digress. Let's get it going, guys. If you have your coffee mugs, your travel mugs, your sippy cups, your doggy bowls, if you have a beer hat and you want to drink it like that, then go ahead and do so, because this is a free country, and join me in a sip of cafecito. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did. All right, let's get started. Guys, there's a problem with other people that don't belong in the United States, or that don't live in the United States, or maybe they do, but they feel like they need to be in a particular seat of a particular round table that tells you what to do, but they are like miles and miles away. This is the World Economic Forum. So what is actually going on here? So in terms of who pays for it, right? We do. You don't know that? I didn't know that. I mean, what about taxes? They say, hey, taxes is for building bridges and keeping, you know, the city going and small businesses. But that's not the only thing that your tax money is going to. Here's a quote. You know, I'm going to be playing a bunch of clips, which you guys can find in the description box below. Do your own research and double check what I put out there. But here's a clip that I found of a news anchor talking to someone who's quite important. Sounds like he's got an important title. And he's putting out, why are we giving so much power and money to places like the World Economic Forum?
The future is not just happening.
No.
The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room.
That is the evil genius himself, Klaus Schwab, letting you know that, you know, we're going to handle this and we're going to take care of everybody's problems. But that's not really what they do, right? That's not really what they're about. Let's continue on with the clip that I have.
Joining us now is Jonathan Alexander, who is the Senior Counsel for Governmental Affairs at Liberty Counsel. Thanks for making the time, Jonathan.
Thanks so much for having me.
What is your reaction to the Biden administration proposing amendments that would give the Director General of the WHO unilateral powers to declare public health emergencies?
Well, this is shameful as much as it is dangerous and unconstitutional. The shameful part is that it's coming from our president, the fact that Joe Biden has proposed these 13 amendments. The danger in it is that it's ceding control over to this government entity that is not the United States. And the unconstitutional part is that they don't abide by any of our Bill of Rights, any of the freedoms that we've committed ourselves to. Rather, they are an unelected body that is determined for whatever cause is necessary to basically put the world on a chokehold, have it follow its dictates, depending on what threat or pandemic it deems at the moment to be necessary in order to lock down the entire world.
The president released a joint statement with President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. They said the amendments to the international health regulations will strengthen global pandemic preparedness and response. What's your reaction to this?
Well, what you and I hear as what they say has strengthened, you and I hear as increased lockdowns. I mean, everyone remembers what happened in 2020, where the entire world and even well into 2022 in areas like China, where much of the world was forced by government edict to remain indoors, to not see family, to not be able to work, destroyed economies all over the world because of this pandemic narrative. And anyone that would speak to other medical remedies were even considered by our Department of Homeland Security to be of a domestic terrorist threat. Well, this is it on steroids. This is bypassing any governmental authority within the United States, bypassing any accountability that these people have to elected individuals. This is bypassing any authority that is ceded from the Constitution. But rather allowing this body that is made up of international players. There's even a diversity and equity inclusion part of this. So new standards in allowing individuals to be part of this board. This is allowing unelected individuals across the pond, literally, to dictate what goes on in our country. And they're going to supersede everything that we have in terms of our freedoms and everything that we have in terms of our Constitution. And there's no accountability. There is no ability for the people of the United States to stand up against this.
In your view, has the administration done enough to allow the media to have enough time to respond to this proposal?
Well, no. I mean, if it wasn't for a select few individuals that sounded the alarm, we would not have been paying attention to what's going on in Geneva this week. It's sort of done under the radar back in January and now in this meeting that's going on this week, May 22nd to the 28th. They've done this undercover because they knew at any point, if you were to tell Americans that you're ceding authority to an international body that is unaccountable to the people, if the media were to echo that message, certainly Americans would have no regard for this. And we ought not to have any regard for this international body that is not accountable to us. And it's unfortunate that the media, in many ways, if they've been darkened intentionally, that's one thing. But if they've been complicit in ignoring what Joe Biden has been steadily marching towards, I think a lot of blame lays at them. Now that we do know, the interesting thing is that they even have 6 months from now. So if they were to put this forward, it would take a 6 month clock in order for this to run out, which means it would occur after the midterm elections, which even that then is curious at best, but I think it's very, in a way, convenient for them.
Really?
How convenient it is for them to be able to push this down past the midterm elections when many Americans would be paying attention to something like this, the United States ceding international authority to this body.
Really? So they're going to keep these things going until the general election, the midterm elections, right? So that means we're going to, and there's whispers now, and I'm going to be getting to that clip soon, whispers of some more lockdowns happening and mask wearing. And just because it's summertime, you know, we're going to let you guys enjoy your summertime, right? But no, once fall comes, you know, it's back to business as usual. This is what's going on with, and when I was talking about the World Economic Forum, but the World Health Organization is probably just another form of the World Economic Forum, right? Like they, it's kind of like their, you know, their brother or sister global governance, right? Because they want to supersede every country and take over and omit every country's sovereignty. Right, it's not about, there can't be a one size fits all for every country, right? There's different climates, different people, different rural areas compared to city areas. There's a lot of different factors, so you can't have a one size fits all for the whole world, the whole globe, right? As, of course, there are some countries that it escapes me now that really didn't pay attention to any of the recommendations from the CDC and had no problems with this so-called pandemic that we've been going through for 2 years, right? And as I'll play later on, you hear clips of Bill Gates really saying that the country that did it the best was Australia. Now, of course, the country that is the most authoritarian, like Australia, did it the best. So that's the way that he wants, that's the way that they want it to be. Forced quarantine, lockdowns, more surveillance over your life. If you have a small business, just getting rid of it, you know, omitting it and getting it done. That's the way that they want it to be in a global scale. Now, if you guys are all about that, then hey, this game is lost already. But going back to what I was saying about bringing back lockdowns and masks, you guys think that that's not going to happen? Check this out.
So you thought it was all over. So did I. It's not. In an ominous sign that so-called emergency COVID measures are in fact returning as the new normal, The Telegraph reports that HSBC has reintroduced daily testing and mask wearing in its New York office. Sources said HSBC has now asked its New York-based staff to put their masks back on and conduct daily tests, a decision which one source said coincided with a visit from senior management last week. The restrictions are returning in response to what the media is hysterically reporting as soaring case numbers in the US. Really? Let's take a look at those soaring case numbers.
Now, of course, you can't see it because this is audio, but they're not long spikes.
Then take a look at the case numbers in New York. Soaring. Really? Looks more like a dead cat bounce to me. Barely even that. But did you really think they were going to give it all up that easily? Yeah, don't count on it. Meanwhile, so-called soaring COVID case numbers in New York won't stop thousands of people congregating in close proximity to celebrate Gay Pride Month, because some things are more important than others.
Right, it makes you wonder, right? Like, they'll allow those types of get-togethers to happen, right? And I think we just had a marathon happened in New York as well, which, by the way, there were some people who caught some bad heartaches, heart attacks, maybe some deaths. Wonder what caused that. I have no idea. Your guess is as good as mine. Maybe it could be fentanyl coming in here. Who knows? Who knows what that means? But let us continue on really quick with the World Economic Forum, your good old buddy, you're the man, the myth, the legend, the one who is the front runner of this evil, I don't know, Doctor Who or whatever. Who's a who's an evil guy in movie history? Who's the guy from 007? Dr. No? I don't know. But hell, give it a hell to the no to this guy, Klaus Schwab. But here's a compilation of clips of Klaus Schwab and some clips from the new meeting that they had in the World Economic Forum, which had your good old buddy Bill Gates and some other people in there talking about more surveillance, creating a new military force to combat pandemic response. But here's what I got. Oh, excuse me. Here we go.
The future is not just happening.
Really?
The future is built by us.
You.
By a powerful community as you here in this room.
Yeah, just you guys. Just
Good
you
evening,
guys.
Everyone. My name is Stephanie Mehta. I'm the CEO of a company called Mansueto Ventures. We publish Fast Company and Inc. magazines. And I'm delighted to moderate today's panel on preparing for the next pandemic. Does anybody on the panel have a thought about whether or not vaccine passports are valuable in the context of pandemic preparedness and prevention?
Some countries did a very good job on being able to verify vaccine
status. Who is that, Bill Gates?
Status. The U.S. did not.
Oh, we didn't.
We have to believe that it's possible to stop a localized outbreak becoming a raging global pandemic. And that means better surveillance, more transparency, frankly, by all member states. If they think something's happened, it's got to be reported. And the WHO needs the power to be on the site with whatever teams need to be deployed. It needs to be able to publish the information it has rather than, you know, beg countries for permission to do it. It's got to be able to take a precautionary approach in running up a flag, and it's got to be able to declare an emergency without being kneecapped by an emergency committee. These are basic things that need to be dealt with in a review of the international health regulations. Otherwise, we will lose weeks again next time something happens.
Ideally, the response to COVID should be the establishment of a global healthcare system, a basic healthcare system for the entire human race.
We have the means to improve the states of the world, but two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities, that we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility. And second, that we collaborate.
There could be more delay in reaction if we have a country with low capacity and we don't have a global team.
We need some kind of global loyalty and global identity.
Now, we did have countries that did a good job. Australia is an example. So we have to create a new team. I believe we should create what I call the GERM team. GERM stands for Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization. This group is full-time. Their only priority is pandemic prevention.
With all the current issues on our agenda, we tend to forget that we are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution, which accelerates global change in much more comprehensive and faster ways than the previous three revolutions.
And you see, the difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you. If you take a genetic editing, just as an example, it's you who are changed. Yeah, and of course, this has a big impact on your identity.
Wow, this Dr. Evil lookalike is really letting us know what they're doing, man. It's crazy. It's crazy to fathom that a lot of people are down for this. It's like, oh, they think that they're doing the right thing with trying to help the world. But the only way that they're able to make that end is to eliminate bodily sovereignty and country sovereignty, right? Your basic human rights need to be infringed. But, hey, we'll see what happens in the future, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Coffee with RW.
CaresNone.com. It's a clothing line. It's a lifestyle. Go to CaresNone.com. Check out their clothing line. It's fantastic. Use code DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. That's DeGrayArea15 and you get 15% off. CaresNone.com.
Oh, yeah.
Are you uncertain about what's going on in your life? Or maybe you're trying to help someone else out fix theirs? Then I recommend you go to wholeeshift.com. That's wholeeshift.com. W-H-O-L-E, another E, S-H-I-F-T.com. And get yourself a reading from Poetic. She's a Reiki healer and is very experienced in this area. So make sure to go to wholeeshift.com. Get yourself a reading today, or you can get it as a gift card and give it to someone who might need it. That's wholeeshift.com. Let them know Ralph William sent you. That's wholeeshift.com.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
Coffee with RW.
Good morning, everybody. Did you know if you replace your morning cup of coffee with a nice hot cup of green tea, that you can lose up to 87% of the little joy you have left in this life?
Oh, yes. You ain't kidding, doll. You are correct. So this is the problem that we're having, right? So we have a group of individuals across the pond, as they said, wanting to have control over you in your country and to remove the constitution of your country to get around all the, you know, whatever it is that they want to implement. You know, even though they like to hide it in the, you know, in the sea of, oh, it's the best for the world. We need to do the best for the world. But it doesn't really happen that way because man is man. We're going to do evil things. And there is no checks and balances. There is no one there to check these individuals. Here's a lady who did a documentary by the called Plandemic, which I played a long time ago. While we were in the middle of this pandemic, however you want to call it, she goes by the name of her name escapes me, Christine something, but you can find it in the show notes below. But she discusses what they're trying to do economy wise in terms of this global control. And what does that really mean? And of course, she dabbles in the about these passports, these vaccine passports, which you don't really hear that much anymore. But the problem with these things is that they probably don't go away, but they change the name, they change the definition, kind of like the way the CDC did a while ago, while changing vaccinations, changing the word vaccine. I believe they changed it to gene therapy or something like that. But here's the clip that I have.
Of central bank explained that with CBDC as a replacement or a digital currency, they can make the rules of how the currency is used and they can enforce the rules centrally. Let that sit in centrally. So one great activist said that the implementation of the passports is the end of human liberty in the West, and that is in fact true if we let this control grid go in. Robert F. Kennedy says you can't stop tyranny by complying. And so what I ask you, we cannot comply with the mandates. We cannot comply with the passports. We cannot comply with any part of a financial control grid. Whether they, you know, they change the name from passports and do it with biometrics and ID, whichever way they do it. So this is the fight for freedom and liberty. And what I will tell you again as an investment advisor, most of our wealth in the West comes from the benefits of freedom. And when you give away freedom, you give away anything. When the World Economic Forum says it's 2030 and you have no assets and you're happy, what I hear is it's 2030. We have stripped you of your assets, which may include stripping you of your children and your mind control. Ladies and gentlemen, don't let that happen.
So those are some scary thoughts, man. Maybe a little over-dramatic at the end with the mind control thing, but technically, is she really wrong, right? Because there's a lot of people that consume a lot of TV and social media, and those are big proponents of how we sway people's personalities and sway people's decisions. So in a way, mind control is pretty much what's happening, right? When you have total control of what type of ideologies you put out on social media like Twitter and putting down conservative ideas, then there's no other type of flow of information. So you pretty much swaying vast amounts of people to think one way, which is what they're trying to do. They want everyone to think and act as one entity. And that might sound good on paper, right? But by doing that, we're not, and I mentioned this in previous episodes, we are not bees. We are not beehives. We are not ants, right? Despite what the movie Ant taught you, right? I remember that movie. All that matters is the colony, right? Because you have individuals that have individual thoughts. You know, maybe they don't want to work 20 hours a day and not get any extra compensation for it. They just have to be happy that they have a home and food in their butt. I mean, is that really enough? You know, as it might sound bad, right? Like, hey, if you only work 20 hours a week or 20 hours, maybe I'm exaggerating. If you only worked 12 hours a day, for 4 days, 5 days, whatever, but you don't get any overtime, no increase. But you do have guaranteed shelter and food. Would a lot of people go for that? Is that where they're trying to go? Whereas, you know, it doesn't matter how much you work, definitely if you work less, they'll probably take away some of that cushy shelter or whatever they'll do. They'll just ship you off somewhere else where you, you know, who knows where they'll take you. But they feel like that's the best thing. And then you'll earn credits, right? And you'll be able to enjoy some of the little things that we all have now because we're free. And we sometimes take advantage of it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't hold it precious, right? We take it for granted. That's what I want to say. Some of the things that we take for granted, like being able to own your own property, right? To being able to own your own land, not have to be a slave to the system, and just be self-sustaining. There will be no more self-sustaining for you. You will be a slave and a piece of the machine. As people beforehand were complaining about capitalism, how you are a slave to the system and you're a cog in the machine, you will definitely be a cog in the machine under this global think tank, right? Because they'll give you no other choice. At least with what we have now, you have a choice. You have the opportunity to, as they say, bring yourself up from your bootstraps, right? Work hard in however way you want to do it, and get yourself out of a situation that you're not happy with, right? But under this global control, this one think tank form, this one communist world, because that's what it boils down to, there is no individualism. You will have no way out. You will either be a part of the system or they will get rid of you as if you were waste. Speaking of waste, let's move on. I think I beaten this horse, this topic to death. But speaking of capitalism and money, we are really going down the creek without a paddle in terms of inflation. But let's see what I have here.
I really doubt that we're going to see an inflationary cycle.
This is what they thought in the beginning, despite every economist and every conservative letting people know, hey, this might be a bad idea. But here's a compilation of them being wrong.
I really doubt that we're going to see an inflationary cycle.
Most economic analysts believe that it will have a temporary or transitory impact.
The faster than expected increase in some of those prices is actually a good sign.
The overwhelming consensus is it's going to pop up a little bit and then go back down. No one's talking about this great, great deal.
This is something that will settle down.
Transitory.
Transitory.
And the data shows that most of the price increases we've seen were expected and are expected to be temporary. There's nobody suggesting there's unchecked inflation on the way. It's highly unlikely that it's going to be long-term inflation that's going to get out of hand. I don't know anybody who's worried about inflation.
Over the last couple of months, we actually saw it trended downward.
President Biden's chief of staff, Ron Klain, enthusiastically retweeted an economist who had said, in part, most of the economic problems we're facing, inflation, supply chains, etc., are high-class problems.
What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Well, the number one thing that the president can do is help get COVID under control. That we know is the root cause of inflation.
President Biden this afternoon saying he thinks we're at the peak of the crisis right now and that lower prices are on the way.
The inflation has everything to do with the supply chain.
Make no mistake, inflation is largely the fault of Putin.
I'm going to do everything I can to minimize Putin's price hike here at home.
If you want to get rid of inflation, the only way to do it is to undo a lot of the Trump tax cuts.
I think ever since you've come into office, things are really looking up. You know, gas is up, rent is up, food is up, everything.
Boy, were they wrong. Now, to her credit, Miss Yellen admitted she was wrong. At least I give her that someone was able to admit when they were wrong, which is what is lacking now in this current administration. But here is Miss Yellen admitting it. At least I hope she is admitting it, right?
I think I was wrong then.
No.
About the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly, that I didn't at the time didn't fully understand.
You didn't understand, right? Despite all the other economists that actually study this, right? And conservative people that know what inflation looks like and what it entails. You didn't know? But isn't it like your job to know? I mean, if I go for a job as a plumber, right, or a mechanic or a doctor, I should know what the job entails and what I should know, right? Like, I can't just go and twiddle my thumbs as a mechanic, right? You got to know something, Miss Yellen. No offense, but you need to know these things. Experience should tell you when something is, you know, forthcoming. Here's another person that is pretty much saying the same thing, that we should all know that this was bound to happen. And that, well, we're going to have to deal with it.
Look, we're all paying the price for having overstimulated this economy during the pandemic and putting too much money into people's pockets, which created a lot of this inflation. And there's no free lunch here. Now they're going to have to, we're all going to have to pay the price.
Yes, every one of you are going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to pay extra for gas. You're going to have to pay extra for. Now, on a side note, I do, for me personally, because for those of you that don't know, I am a vegan. I've been a vegan for 10 years. I think more than that. I'm not, it's like since 2012, I think. I do believe that we need to lower our consumptions of meat, to be honest with you, just to cut down. Hopefully to eliminate the senseless killing of animals, but that's just my personal, you know, thing. So I do believe that an extra amount of money for meats and things like that should be, I think, you know, I would like for it to go away, but hey, if you want to do that type of harm, you got to pay extra. You know, I want it to go away completely. But I also believe that there should be a choice. Like before, when I became a vegan, I became this hardcore. Like I wanted everyone to become a vegan. Now I calm down. I understand, you know, those are just, you just can't be that way sometimes. But now I just want there to be a choice for people that don't want to eat animals, right? Before, probably in the 90s, you know, you would have to work extra hard to be able to make your own, vegan burger or whatever meal you want veganized, right? And don't even think about finding it in stores in the 90s and 2000s. Now you're able to have it everywhere, right? Which is what I really wanted from the beginning. I want to have that choice. Like if I have to go to a Burger King with a couple of my buddies that don't eat the same way, I want to be able to still enjoy those outings with my friends or family, and still be able to eat something that I know was not contributing to the harm of an animal. So on that note, whether that's the case, if that's the thing that is raising prices, meat, then I kind of follow that. I think that's a good idea. A lot of people might not be happy with that, but to eliminate it completely, I would like it to be out of choice from people, not forcefully, right? Because I would be no better than anybody else trying to force things onto people. But moving back to the economy, this is our chief leader, whatever, his idea of what he plans to do with the economy and of course passing it on to somebody else to handle it.
My plan is to address inflation. It starts with a simple proposition. Respect the Fed. Respect the Fed's independence, which I have done.
What about our independence?
My job as president is not to nominate highly qualified individuals for that institution, but to give them the space they need to do their job. I'm not going to interfere with their critically important work. Fed has dual responsibilities. One, full employment. Two, stable prices. Chair Powell and other leaders of the Fed have noted at this moment they have a laser focus on addressing inflation, just like I am. And with a larger complement of board members now confirmed, I know we'll use those tools of monetary policy to address the rising prices for the American people.
So this guy is, of course, passing the buck to somebody else and saying, hey, I'm going to let you guys do what you need. You guys have independence, not the American people. We got to tell them what to do, you know, like take experimental medications that might do some harm and force them to do it or else they lose their jobs. This is what he says about us. you know, people are here in the United States. But these government entities like the Fed, you know, or any other entity like World Health Organization or the World Economic Forum, they have total autonomy. You know, they have total, you know, control. They can have total control over everybody. They need to be left alone, and we just follow their lead and do what they say. That is a problem, of course. That has been the story since the beginning of time, where, you know, the king and the king's court is the one that's ruling over the people outside. And of course, the king likes to have their castle, you know, surrounded by walls so that, you know, we don't come and knock and talk about some tax hikes. But of course, the walls are down to bring everyone in here and to catch a free lunch when they don't need it, right? When they are able-bodied and they're able to do their work. No, you don't need to work. It's all right. Just chill out. Chill out. We'll see you in November. A couple of months, baby. We'll be waiting for you. We'll send those ballots to your home, and you just have to sign on the dotted line. Anyway. Speaking of money, now you know who needs to be a doctor, you know, who needs to be a lawyer nowadays. You can just learn how to surf and be able to save some lives, and you could be a millionaire. Ralph, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Millionaire? If I can be a millionaire being a lifeguard, you know, surfing and turfing all the time, bro. I do that in a heartbeat. Well, check this out. The website that says openthebooks.com. You guys remember that site? I talked about it in previous episodes. I don't know what caused them to do this, but they audited, California. Excuse me. And they found out that lifeguards are making of about $500,000 plus money. They're making money, buku money. Now, maybe in California, you know, you probably have to waste like $1,000 for gas, right? Maybe. So it might sound like a lot. But I found this interesting, like that just to be a lifeguard. Baywatch, baby. You see a bunch of Pam Andersons. They can pay for their cosmetic, assistance, right? With that type of money in California. Here's the article that I pulled up. This is from the openthebooks.com. You guys can find them yourselves, and they like to audit and find out how much politicians, companies, businesses, CEOs, how much are they really making? Like, where does this money come from? Remember, follow the money when it comes to, certain things that's happening in the world. Follow the money. Here's the article going through how much these individuals are really making. I want to be a lifeguard now. Whew. That seems like a very lucrative job to do. A lot better than be a police officer. Hey, police officers, if you guys don't want to, run into a building, to help some kids, then, maybe you should be a lifeguard instead. I mean, you still have to save some lives, but you probably don't have to worry about getting shot. But then again, you might drown, so you might stay on the shore and not run into the water to help somebody. Well, anyway, I'm talking too much. I'm sorry. Sorry, cops. Sorry.
That LA lifeguards who work in the sun, ocean surf, and golden sands of California could reap such unbelievable financial reward? It's time we put Baywatch on pay watch. In 2019, we found top paid lifeguards made up to $392,000. Unfortunately, today, the pay and benefits are even more lucrative. Daniel Douglas was the most highly paid and earned $510,283, an increase from $442,712 in 2020. As the lifeguard captain, he out-earned 1,000 of his peers. Salary, $150,054. Perks, $28,661. Benefits, $85,508. And a whopping $246,060 in overtime pay. The second highest paid, lifeguard chief Fernando Boitux, pull down $463,517, up from $393,137 last year. Our auditors at OpenTheBooks.com found 98 LA lifeguards earned at least $200,000 including benefits last year, and 20 made between $300,000 and $510,283. 37 lifeguards made between $50,000 and $247,000 in overtime alone. And it's not only about the cash compensation. After 30 years of service, LA lifeguards can retire as young as 55 on 79% of their pay. Furthermore, we found that most of the top paid lifeguards were men. In fact, only two of the top 20 high earners were women. Virginia Roop, $307,664.
Good for you.
16th highest paid, a lifeguard captain, and Lauren Dale, $303,518.
Nice.
19th highest paid, an ocean lifeguard specialist. Overtime pay drove earnings into the corporate executive range. Last year alone, 37 lifeguards made overtime in amounts between $50,000 and $247,000. For example, Daniel Douglas, overtime, $246,060.
Wow.
James Orr, overtime, $146,506. Patrick O'Neill, overtime, $133,235. And five others each made six figures plus. However, in a six-year period, between 2016 and 2021, the LA Lifeguard Corp has made a fortune in overtime. The top three high earners made between $505,579 and $980,007 in overtime alone. Daniel Douglas, $980,007, Jaros Popik, $513,365, and James Orr, $505,579.
Wow.
Thank you for reading Open the Book's Substack. This post is public, so feel free to share it. Some high-earning lifeguards also win awards for heroism. However, we found many lifeguards winning Valor Awards failed to crack the top of the payroll. In 2020, the Medal of Valor winner, Edward Nkmeko, salary, $134,144, an ocean lifeguard, jumped into the rough waters in a remote Palos Verdes gorge and pulled a man to safety through potentially skull-crushing swells and over razor.
Good for him.
Sharp rocks. Each lifeguard pay dwarfs that of their colleagues at the pools. The highest paid pool lifeguard made $45,030, including pay and benefits. During the pandemic, lifeguards continued to work and took additional precautions doing water rescues. Many traded their trunks and sunscreen for masks and scrubs at COVID testing sites. In some cases, lifeguards acted as police, enforcing stay-at-home orders, keeping people off the beaches and out of the water.
Maybe.
Why beach lifeguards earn so much money is an open question the LA taxpayer might start asking. A lifeguard's job can be dangerous, but it's unclear why they are now paid up to $500,000 a year. After 2 years of requesting comment from the county and after three requests this year alone, a spokesperson finally responded with an official statement. The Los Angeles County Fire Department had approximately 166 full-time ocean lifeguards and 600 seasonal recurrent ocean lifeguards.
Wow.
All our lifeguards, including those in leadership positions, have taken on an enormous responsibility. They are responsible for protecting 72 miles of coastline, 10,526 square miles of open ocean waters, Catalina Island, and 1,686 square miles of Los Angeles County inland waterways.
That justifies
In that same year, we had over 50 million beachgoers and our lifeguards executed over 9,286 ocean rescues and responded to over 13,303 medical calls.
Wow.
During large-scale brush fires, our lifeguards take on additional responsibilities to work on specialized incident management teams to support firefighters all over the state, as they did in 2021 when wildfires burned an estimated 2,568,948 acres here in California.
Wow.
Additionally, our lifeguards were a critical part of the COVID-19 response efforts. The lifeguard division provided personnel, logistics, and incident management qualifications to support COVID-19 testing and COVID-19 vaccinations all over the county of Los Angeles.
Wow. So in paying so much money for doing so much extra work, I guess it pays to work for the man, especially the one that wanted to implement testing and all that stuff. That's crazy. It's funny to me how they say that those that have gotten Medal of Honor for really doing some heroic stuff, they didn't crack that amount of money as these other individuals, or maybe they did, I don't know. I mean, maybe we need to start incentivizing heroism, right? Like, hey, if you save some kids, then I don't know. What do you think? You guys, leave me a comment in the comments below, or send it to me on Twitter at the Ralph William on Twitter. Let me know. Do you guys think we should incentivize or monetize heroism? Should somebody want to do something right so that they can get paid for it, or should it be something that they innately do on their own? Right? I don't know. It's because I definitely think that if you increase their annual pay by $10,000, $20,000, depending on the amount of heroism they do in the year, that might incentivize a lot of people for doing the right thing nowadays. Because right now, doing the right thing is not great, right? Like, you can't go in and save some kids in schools because you know, protocol, and you're trying to save your own life and things like that. You can't be incentivized to do that. But or kids or people going into stores and just shoplifting and just grabbing everything like it's no tomorrow. You know, you can't incentivize people from stopping robbery, right? Because what's robbery? It's just a small little crime. Like, let's not talk about that. I believe I saw a headline where the attorney general in California, you know, what a quinky dink, might be recalled because of his lazy enforcement of small crimes, right? I don't know. That's crazy. Speaking of saving some kids, yeah, of course, the shooting in Texas was pretty bad. But here's an article really quick that I wanted to get through. There was a hell of a lot more shootings over Memorial Day weekend in Chicago. Not a lot of headlines on that. Or maybe, well, this is technically a headline, right? But these are, this maybe didn't happen in schools, right? But a lot of people who could have probably protected themselves if they had their own gun, maybe would have been able to save themselves. But here's the article. Oh, hold on.
46 people.
Oof. 46 people already. That's just like over a 2-day span.
46 people were shot, 10 of them fatally, during Memorial Day weekend in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's D, Chicago. Breitbart News noted at least 21 people were shot Friday into Sunday morning alone on Memorial weekend, and 4 of those shooting victims succumbed to their wounds. ABC 7, Chicago Sun-Times reports the number of shooting victims rose to 46 by Monday evening, with 6 of those victims dying from their injuries. Among the shooting deaths Sunday and Monday was 33-year-old Jeremy Benson, who was fatally shot while driving. He was driving in the 4400 block of West Madison Street and he crashed after being shot. A 24-year-old man was also shot and killed early Sunday while attending a birthday party in the 5700 block of South Carpenter Street. At 2:50 p.m. Monday, a 31-year-old man was shot multiple times while sitting inside a residence in the 6900 block of South Green Street. The 31-year-old died at the scene. Hours later, at 5 p.m., a 27-year-old man was shot in the 8600 block of South Aberdeen Street. He was rushed to a hospital, where he died. The 46 Memorial Day weekend shooting victims in Mayor Lightfoot's Chicago represent an increase over the number of shooting victims during the same weekend in 2021. Breitbart News noted at least 33 people were shot, 3 of them fatally, in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's D, Chicago during Memorial Weekend 2021. A.W.R. Hawkins is an award-winning Second Amendment columnist for Breitbart News and the writer/curator of Downrange with A.W.R. Hawkins, a weekly newsletter focused on all things Second Amendment, also for Breitbart News.
Make sure to go check that out because that's some good information. But hey, man, hey, it's only in Texas that there's shootings, people getting killed. Don't even get me started about New York, because that's pretty bad themselves. That's pretty bad themselves. But hey, don't let Beto, you know, not let a good crisis go away. Right? That's the new mano. No, that's the new catchphrase now for this current administration. This is what he wants. This is what Beto wants in for all of you citizens that have guns.
Just took the position that may not be politically popular, maybe too on.
You think this is not going to be a popular political decision? Oh, Beto. I don't think you're going to win any election.
Just took the position that may not be politically popular, maybe too on, is that not only should no one be able to purchase an AR-15 or an AK-47 because they're designed to kill humans, and that high-impact, high-velocity round will just tear up everything inside. You'll bleed out before we can get you back to life. But I don't think that the people who have them right now in civilian use should be able to keep them.
Oh, man, so you're not allowed to have any guns. Civilians, you're not allowed to have any guns. Whether it be small or big, it doesn't matter, the magazine. That's what they want to do. They want to take away your right to defend yourself. Yeah, you remember Bill Gates saying how Australia did it the best when it comes to a pandemic response? Yeah, why are they able to do that? Because none of their citizens were able to defend themselves. They had no choice, right? They would get hit with rubber bullets or whatever it is when they would break protocol and they couldn't defend themselves. You imagine them doing that stupid stuff here? And now we have Trudeau saying that, hey, we want to do that here too. Like, nobody that has a gun can, if you guys have a gun, prepare for us to come and take them, and there will be no more selling of guns here. And he has gone to the World Economic Forum as well. So this is what they want you to do. They want to make sure that America gets rid of their guns. That way they can sweep around the globe and be able to put their boots to everyone's neck so that whatever they propose, you have no way to fight back or defend yourself. As you can tell, people who have defended themselves with their voices were shot down, censored, and they had no way of fighting back. The only way that you're able to fight back is if you sue everybody in the administration, in the government, in the courts, private individuals, public individuals. You got to sue, but you got to have money to do that. Not everybody has money to sue, right? So now, what's the last option? The right to defend yourself through weaponry. And that's what they want to do, because they want to eliminate that last resort. Because they know if you use that last resort, then there's no coming back from that. They don't want to destroy, you know, the foundation, and I don't mean foundation as principles, but foundations like buildings, and have to rebuild things, because it would be chaotic if it ever came to that here in the United States. You know how much they would have to fix if there would be a problem? I don't know. It's crazy. They want to keep more, they want to bring back more lockdowns. So be prepared for that. So here on a lighter note, and I want to end this on a lighter note, because it was quite funny. So one of my listeners sent this to me on Twitter, @TheRalphWilliam. You can send me videos, articles, news, whatever you want to talk about. Send it to me on Twitter, @TheRalphWilliam. Follow me on Twitter. They sent this funny video. During the pandemic, you know, a lot of businesses closed down. One of these businesses being a daycare. But the owner of this daycare was able to revamp their business to cater to another audience, another service that I feel I might need to be a part of. I think I belong. I need to go to one of these facilities. If you have one, let me know, because I want to sign myself up. I think I need it.
My name's Holly, and I run Happy Hands Daycare. The coronavirus shut down our daycare center. People just didn't feel safe sending their kids. We were about to close our doors, but then we had an idea. We realized that there's probably so many people stuck inside with family members that they just can't stand. So we decided to reopen as a daycare center for uncles.
Hey!
Uncle Hank! Good to have you today.
I got a hemorrhoid like a monkey knuckle.
All right. When most people have an uncle, they never think they'll spend all day with them.
Hey, you guys think fire's beautiful, right? Good morning, Miss Holly. My mom told me to say thank you for all the prayers for our iguana.
Once COVID hit, that nightmare became a reality. Uncle Shane!
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Come on in.
Wow.
Nice shirt.
Sound as a wolf make.
Wolves.
So we offer a solution. We give uncles a place to go during the day. Each day starts with a morning meeting.
Wait, what?
We give all the uncles a scratch-off ticket with their schedules on it.
Yoga? God damn it. Fuck!
Then the uncles participate in a variety of activities that suit their skill set. Okay, Uncle Tommy.
Yeah?
How old are these girls? Are any of them underage?
Well,
you can do this.
I know.
Okay. Go ahead.
They're all beautiful angels.
Right, but are any of them underage?
I don't know. So I have to assume they're all underage. All
great
of
them. Job, Tommy.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you.
Yes, I'm proud of myself.
Remember, guys, as developed as they may seem,
it doesn't mean they're 18.
Is my computer? Did you guys get this laptop?
This is conspiracy class.
Yeah, so basically the Hunter Biden video from his laptop is fake, but it's actually him, but they gave him a fake giant.
Sign me up.
Italy's
black.
He's saying Italian.
Oh, Italian.
I actually have evidence that Jimmy Hoffa was one of the pilots on one of the planes. My cousin told me.
What?
Yeah.
We read the uncles some books to help debunk some of their conspiracy theories. But I don't trust the vaccines, cried the rabbit. Oh, but you should, rabbit. They're safe, exclaimed Farmer Jim. If you don't take the vaccine, you won't be able to play with your rabbit friends anymore.
Yeah, all right. But what happens when the vaccine turns them gay, like what happened with me?
Well, remember, Uncle Tim, that's a conspiracy.
Yeah, the vaccines don't make the rabbits gay. It makes them artistic, like painting and shit.
And then Uncle
Hank. The farmer's giving the rabbit the vaccine so he can control his mind.
Here at our daycare, we have lady uncles, too. With our lady uncles, we give them a pack of cigarettes, a robe, and a window they can look out of to keep an eye on things.
See these kids out here? Look at these kids.
They're just riding their bikes.
Yeah, from what country?
At Uncle Daycare, we provide snacks.
Hey, Uncle Hank. One. Feeling famished?
The uncles get a beer at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. Uncle Tommy gets a beer every half hour.
Love your beers, too?
Mm-hmm. All right, no problem.
Those are one of those. That's a daycare that you can sign me up. I think I know a couple of people that wouldn't mind doing that daycare simply for the beer. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I greatly appreciate it. Make sure to download my internet radio station, or just go check it out. Go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com, epicstrategiesnetwork.com, and tune into the station and see what we got to offer. See the other shows that we have. That we have. Yours truly, RW. We have Slacker 82 Alpha. We have The Old Man's Show. You can check them out there. You can also check out some good music that we have, like jazz, blues, Latin, a lot of good music there. So make sure to go check it out. Help support our station. Help keep us going. Go to epicstrategiesnetwork.com. Click the link there. And any little bit helps. We'd greatly appreciate it. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Yours truly, Ralph William with Coffee with RW. Make sure to leave us a review, a like, or however they offer it, to depending on your platform, what you're using. And follow me on Twitter at the Ralph William on Twitter. As I always like to end my shows, guys, I would like to say stay humble, stay hungry, and you'll always be blessed. Take care. Peace.
I'm trying to have a coffee. Hey, does anybody want a coffee? Come on.
Cafecito, 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 cafecito.